Ladies and gentlemen, in keeping with our emphasis on devotions, personal devotions, that's right. Even if you're in a family, you need to pray and read your Bible like a single person. You need to make sure you pray and read the Bible yourself. What I taught my family to do when they were much younger, as soon as you get up, you ought to have a moment of devotion. You ought to pray. You can do a breath prayer, as Dr. Warren brought out in his book. Always remember, now, you don't have to pray an hour to get a hold of God. When you get up, for most people who claim to be Christians, you need to pray and ask God to help you get up on the right side of the bed, to help you to have the right heart, attitude, and spirit towards your family members before you say anything. Because some of you people, you wake up with the devil in you. I'm telling you. Talking about you woke up on the wrong side of the bed, or you need your caffeine. No, you need God. You need Jesus. And I've seen this work in my own family. And that's why I, as quickly as possible, lead my family. See, we pray even before we do this. I mean, serious praying goes on before we even come before you. For real. See, that's why I lead my family to prayer as quickly as possible. And I've seen people get up looking like the devil, mad as the devil, acting like the devil. And I thank God everybody's not that way. But the one or two who are, I would sit down and get with those two. If they're out and about already. And whoever's out there, I'll start praying with them. And it is a known fact that I've seen them change during the prayer. They're a different person after the prayer. They have a different mentality, a different attitude. And I've also seen that if we fail to pray for some reason, because the devil will try to trick you in the morning, you know this, to make you forget to pray. And so when we don't do that, I've seen the devil work on that person even more so. And the truth be known, and I know some of you don't like it, the main one I have to pray with is my wife, Marika White. I have to pray with her throughout the past 33 years. And if you got somebody in your family like that, get with them and pray with them and pray for them. And don't be afraid and ask God to cast the devil out of them. I know there's a whole lot of debate on whether or not a Christian can be demon-possessed. A person who claims to be Christian, a Christian can be demon-possessed for sure. And transform themselves into an angel of light around certain people. But they are devil around you. I don't care if you like it. I'm telling you what's going on. I'm trying to help you. You better pray with those devils that you have in your house and pray and ask God to cast the devil out of them. Because see, because like I told you, how is it that you can have this wonderful, magnificent wedding costing you $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $100,000, you're still paying on it. And you got your arms all crossed up with your nasty hands, putting cake up somebody's nose and everything, and your hands, arms all twisted up. You know the picture. Y'all look like you're so in love. Some of you know you should have never married the Negro in the first place. You knew it at the wedding. You just did it because, you want to tell your girlfriend you got married or whatever. But you did it. And then 3 years later, you kill your wife. I mean, how can that happen? Or you hate your wife. Or you hate your husband. What is that? I'm going to tell you what it is. It's the devil. People, You need to stop fooling yourself and trying to make it. See, what you want to do is make it into a personal thing, a flesh and blood thing. It's not. I know you want to make it into that because, see, you don't even believe in God. You don't believe what the Bible says, that what God said about the devil. See, you want to make it a human thing, a fleshly thing, and you want to point the finger at a human being. But the devil is behind all of that mess, and the devil is behind you who's doing the pointing. So, in a hurry, right quick in a hurry in the morning, you need to pray with your family, especially with those who have demonic tendencies, looking mad all the time. See, listen to me. Listen to me, people. I'm trying to help you. Your family members who look like they been talking to the devil all night, the people in your family who when they get sleep, it does not, they don't improve. They're the same the next day. They still have a nasty attitude. If you give them a good meal and a great night of rest and sleep, and they take vitamins and everything and exercise and everything, and they still mad all the time, there's something demonic going on, my friend. True Christians cannot be that way 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's a demonic curse in your family's life. And the only thing that you can do is pray and pray without and fast and pray without ceasing. My beloved, I'm trying to help you have some peace and some order and some productivity in your house. So I'm trying to help you. So you need to pray like a single person in your marriage and in your family. Pray before you get with the family to pray. Because see, now you need to understand, because we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. See, one of the reasons why you folks hate prayer time and family devotion time so much is because you know the devil's going to fight it. Your flesh is going to fight it. And while even in the midst of prayer, if you're not careful in reading the Bible, the devil will bring up something in somebody's mind that happened, you know, 15 years ago or whatever the case might be. And to design to cause a problem in the midst. Okay? The devil hates your prayer time. He will cause the fan to fall, the air conditioner to fall out the window, the lamps to fall down, the baby to act like she has never been held before. The mother, the wife acting crazy, the husband acting crazy, children. It's the devil can't stand that family prayer time. So you need to pray before you even go into the family devotions. And then while you're in that, you need to pray through, as the old saints used to say. Pray about everything, even the uncomfortable stuff. And that's another reason why you don't like to go into prayer and have family devotion, because God's going to bring up some uncomfortable stuff you have not dealt with. There's about 10 things God is telling you to do, but you have not done them. And every time you come before God, he's going to remind you of those 10 things he wants you to do that will help solve your problems. So let me move on. In keeping with our emphasis on devotions, personal devotions, for those of you who are single, and family devotions. Tracy Miles wrote, "We are the only ones who have control over setting priorities in our lives. And if we don't intentionally make staying spiritually fit and spending time with God of utmost importance, then it won't happen. And without habitual spiritual nourishment, we will never be spiritually fit and strong. And that is a fact." Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help every single person, help every married person to pray, and every family to read your holy word each and every morning, each and every day, and help them to meditate on your holy word and to continue to pray without ceasing. For Lord, as we have found out, if we don't have that foundational prayer time in the morning, we will probably not pray without ceasing throughout the day, and we can't play catch up. So Lord, help everybody to do that, in every Christian, every home that names the name of Christianity, the name of Christ. Have mercy and grace upon each and every one of us, and forgive us of our sins, our faults and our failures of prayerlessness and of not reading your holy word and having family devotions and single devotions. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us to pray together, to obey together, and to stay together in our families, even during the plague pandemic, and help people not to get blinded by the devil that we do need each other during this time, for this may last for years. And so, Holy Father God, I pray, in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, that you would save those families that don't know you, who don't know to pray, don't know what your holy word says in Ephesians chapter 5 and 6 that can help them. And Lord, forgive us of our sins of not obeying your great commandment or your great commission. We don't love the people, for the love of many has waxed cold, and we have not witnessed to the people. And Lord, no doubt, if every Christian right now, every Christian on earth right now, will send out a gospel tract online and go out to a public square and place a gospel tract on a car window, Lord, millions would hear the gospel and read the gospel and get saved. And they can put links on the tracks that will lead them back to a fuller explanation of the gospel and the reading of your holy word. And the understanding of your holy word, rather, and how they can grow in the faith. And Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, help everybody who names the name of Christ in this time of the plague pandemic, Lord, to go out and to witness with no contact by sending gospel tracts out online and passing out gospel tracts. And we pray that millions upon millions would come to know you as Savior. And then, Lord, we pray that you would send forth laborers into the field, including us, to be the witnesses that you will have us to be. Thank you, Lord, on Rosh Hashanah night last night, that we passed out some gospel tracts. Lord, help us to find some Rosh Hashanah tracts. I have never seen any. And if, Lord, we can't find any, help us to make some. And we pray that millions would hear the gospel and be saved. Help us to send out some tracts digitally today, and to pass out some more this evening in a no-contact way. In Jesus Christ's name, we do pray, and help others to do the same. Amen. And join me in reciting or reading the New Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ. If you don't believe this, don't say it. But if you do, if you believe it with feeling, with by paying attention to it, it will transform your mind and it will change you from the inside out, and it will increase your faith, because it is based upon the Word of God. And in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father, before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God. If you believe all of this, dear friend, you ought to be a different person. You ought not to be druggy. You ought not to be sad, defeated, disgusted, and mad. You ought not to be joining with the devil to try to hinder the gospel in no way, shape, form, or fashion if you believe these words that you're saying right now. Begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father. Through him all things were made. Through him all things were made. We're celebrating Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is all about celebrating the creation of the world. It is the true new year. Our new year is man-made. This comes from God. And so that's one of the reasons why we join with God's chosen people to celebrate the real new year, the creation of the world. For us and for our salvation, He, Jesus, came down from heaven. By the way, the He's ought to be capitalized. He, capital H, became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made human. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried. The third day he rose again according to the scriptures. He was seen alive by Mary Magdalene and the other women, the disciples, and over 500 other brethren. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will never end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. He proceeds from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified. He spoke through the prophets. We believe in one holy, universal, and apostolic church. We affirm one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look forward to the resurrection of the dead and to life in the world to come. Amen. The question is, are you ready? Are you ready for the world to come? Have you been born again? Have you been saved? If you have not been saved, dear friend, please believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ said it best. He preached the greatest gospel sermon ever, the good news, when he said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Believe in Christ, my beloved. Believe in Christ. Believe in Christ Jesus while you have a chance. The rapture could take place today. Be ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. To borrow the phrase of another great preacher. All right. We're moving on down to the family verses, what I call the family verses. God led me from almost day one in our family, when I started seeing some rebelliousness, pride, and stubbornness in my wife. When we prayed and read the Bible and had devotions together, even before the children came, God laid on my heart to read this passage in our prayer time to remind my wife of her role. And of course, while reading it, I was reminded of my role. And when the children came along, they were reminded of their role. And if you have a family like that with some issues, and most of you do, I would encourage you to do the same, especially those of you who have young families, some of you older heads. Hardly anything can help you now, but you've been doing it wrong so long. Well, see, I told my wife, before we got married, I gave her the chance to get out of it. I said, your family, your parents' marriage was a bust and a failure. You got aunts and family members, and your mother and father are divorced. So they failed. Their marriages and family life was a failure. And as you know, they didn't even raise you right. And then my family, they stayed together, thank God, but it was a rough love marriage and family, for real. It was not biblical in no way, shape, form, or fashion. My father did not know anything about it, and my mother didn't know anything about it, but they at least acknowledged that they were wrong in not letting, wrong in the fact that my dad did not lead the family and my mother was the leader of the family. They both acknowledged that on their own. They knew it was wrong, and it was a mess. My parents had four children together, two boys and two girls. My dad, a bishop, pastor. My mother claims to be a pastor, a minister as well. And one thing they did, they took us to church. We never learned anything, hardly. I certainly did not hear the gospel. Just a bunch of emotionalism and singing, sang song preaching and so forth. But here's what happened. The two boys got girls pregnant before marriage. The two girls got pregnant before marriage. That is a shame before God. And the truth is, both of them should have resigned from any pastoral leadership based upon the scriptures. Now, I'm not mad at my parents. I think they did the best they could with the knowledge and the light that they had. They were never taught anything, and so forth. My wife's parents. They were taught less. Not only did her parents divorce, her aunts divorced and remarried, her siblings divorced and remarried, and all kinds of foolishness went on over there, and also on both sides of the family. So I told my wife from Jump Street, from the get-go, before we got married, now we're not doing that. I told her, whatever they did, we're not doing. I said, you understand that? And so what we're going to do is, we're going to do Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6. I told her that before we got married. And I told her very clearly, we're going to do it this way or no way. Those are the words I use. That means that we're not going to compromise on this. So either we do it or it's going to be a bust. Just like her parents and my parents. Theirs didn't work. It did not turn out well. And because I made that decision, thank God, God has blessed us with seven children. None of them, we haven't even thought about anybody getting pregnant, or boys getting a girl pregnant, or any mess like that. They all have finished college. And let me just back up on that. Four of them have finished college. Three are on the way. We thank God for that, the younger children. No possibility of getting pregnant or having abortions and all that kind of. And that's right. If you got pregnant and you aborted the baby, you still got pregnant. You don't fool anybody with that. Do you hear me? And if you got mess going on like that in your family, and you got some of you guys got wives who are going to hate this passage, even though you're reading about yourself in the passage. Yes, my wife hated it for a long time, but I did it anyway. I let God remind her of her role as a wife and a mother in the family. And it made all the difference. It made all the difference. It made all the difference. In so many ways. And I give God the glory for that. So we're going to read the next passage in the family verses. We're at Ephesians chapter 6. We've already dealt with the wife. We've already dealt with the husband. Then we dealt with, in one verse, the husband and the wife. And what I'm doing this week, by the grace of God, what I'm trying to do, is just read the verse and not make any comments. And then next week, my baby son is going to help me do something a little bit differently. It's going to be short and sweet. And it's going to be powerful. So enjoy this week. For some of you, it's a break because you hate being convicted by the word of God about your evil. See, the problem in your family is that you're evil. You got evil people in your family. Evil husbands, evil wives, evil children, evil parents. Do you hear me? You're evil. Sin is the problem. And you don't want to accept that. You want to, well, it's because he didn't say this to be. And it's because she didn't do this. And it's because the children are just like me. And so forth and so on. No. No, you have an evil heart and you're not dealing with that. You won't humble yourself down and do what you're supposed to do. You won't obey God. That's the problem. Three verses. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And that's all we're going to read today. I know some of you want me to expound on that because you have rebellious, mean, hateful Adam's family children. I know, but I'm not going to expound on it today. All children know they ought to obey. See, here's what God has a problem with us. All husbands know what they ought to do instinctively. All wives know what they ought to do instinctively, not only based upon the word of God, but instinct-wise, they know what to do. All children instinctively know what to do. Okay? Not only do we know, even dogs know what they ought to do. Instinctively. They know they ought not to bite their master. That's why when they do something like that, we put them what? Down. The other day, a dog, the baby came home from the hospital, and the father and mother, they were giving the baby attention, and the dog was not getting it. This literally happened, and the dog was not getting any attention. They put the baby in not a bassinet. I don't even think they have bassinets today. I don't. Maybe the rich people do, but I don't know. But it was like a playpen kind of a thing, and they left the room, and the parents said themselves that the dog was jealous because they were not showing the dog the attention as they used to. And the dog jumped over the playpen wall and mauled the child. I think the child died. And the dog knew better than that. I said the dog knew better than that. No, they should not have left the baby in there with the dog. Especially they saw the dog acting like she was jealous, or he was jealous. They knew it. That's what they said. The dog was jealous. They said that. They knew that. But the dog instinctively knows not to go and bite the baby. There are many of you, millions of people, bring babies home, and the dog cuddle up to them, sleep with them, protect them, and it will protect the baby from you. You come in there in the night, the dog will bark at you. Because the dog loves the baby just as much, more than you do. The dog let the little toddler ride on her back and everything else. The dog could destroy the baby or the toddler, but they know that they know they're not supposed to do that instinctively. See, God has put in us as humans instincts. That's the reason why we don't have a college on marriage. We instinctively know what we ought to do. The problem that God has with us is that even though His Word tells you what to do, and you know instinctively what you ought to do, all wives know they ought to honor their husbands and respect their husbands and submit to their husbands and obey their husbands. All husbands know they ought to love their wives and cherish their wives and all of that. But we choose not to do it. And that's the problem that God has with us. We're rebellious against what we already know. See, and you people are all caught up in the sweet little evangelical stupid game of, if I do this, if you do this for me, I'll do this for you. If you do this for me, I'll do this. If you don't make me happy, then I'm not going to make you happy. It's so childish. It's so juvenile. It's so stupid. And it doesn't work. Because you still end up getting divorced, because that's not how God set it up. Anyway, let's pray together. Let's pray together based upon 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, which says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Join us in prayer, if you would. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, based upon your holy word, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And so, Holy Father God, help all of us who name the name of Christ, who claim to be believers in Jesus Christ, help us to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent and get back to you, Lord Jesus Christ, our first love. And then, Holy Father God, we pray for the government. We pray for President Trump and all other government officials under him, his administration, his cabinet, all senators, U.S. senators, all U.S. Representatives, all governors, all mayors, all police chiefs, all sheriffs. And Lord, I thank you that even as a black man, they've been good to me. And Lord, yes, when I was a younger man, I had one incident that was not right, not fair. Well, two. But overall, ever since I've been saved, for the most part, because of your favor. And so, Lord, I pray that you would have your Holy Ghost to work on the hearts of young black men, young white men, young black women, young white women, red, yellow, black and white, for we're all precious in your sight. Help them to see Jesus. Help them, Lord, to believe in you and to learn how to respond to people who might be doing us wrong. for you told us to turn the other cheek. And so, Holy Father God, give us all wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and insight after salvation. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for all state senators and state representatives. We pray for all prime ministers. We pray for all presidents, potentates, and premiers around the world, and all of their government apparatus. We pray that, Lord God in heaven, you will save these people. Grant salvation and spiritual blessings, family and life blessings, protection and provision blessings, financial and material blessings. And Lord, deliver, help these people to make the right decisions to repent of sanctioning homosexuality and committing sins of adultery and fornication in their own lives. And Lord, help them to see that that is the problem, the sins we're committing in your sight. It is not the economy. It's not racism only. It is all of the sins that we're committing in your sight. So help, Lord, them, these government officials, to confess their sins and repent, save their souls, and turn their hearts to go in the direction that you want them to go. Let your will be done in their lives and through their lives and in our lives, that we may lead peaceable and quiet lives. Lord God in heaven, we pray for the salvation of those in this country, around the globe, and in the media. Save their souls and change their lives. Revive those who are saved in this country, around the globe, and in the media. We pray, Lord, for all Christians who are being persecuted around the world, especially in China, Iran, Nigeria, Philippines, and Kenya. Lord, comfort them and strengthen them. Give them your grace in their trying hours and in their dying hours. And Lord, give them your grace to overcome. Surround them with a band of your holy angels and a wall of your holy fire, and be with them and comfort them and deliver them from the predicaments that they're in. And Holy Father God, we pray for the healing of the sick. We pray for those who are who claim to be Christians, to call for their pastors to pray for them, but help them to confess their sins. Help them to be transparent and real and deal with the sin problem in their lives so that they can be healed and raised up. We pray for the salvation and the healing of the lost. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would heal, rather, and that you would comfort those who are grieving, the family members and friends that they have lost to the coronavirus plague. Some families have lost multiple family members through this plague. And Holy Father God, I pray that you will draw them to yourself, Lord Jesus, for salvation and comfort. Lord, we pray for that you would, by the power of your Holy Spirit, draw them to your Holy Scriptures for salvation and comfort. And we pray for some by name. We pray for all of the other millions who are hurting and suffering because of the pain of losing their loved ones and friends, some families, multiple loved ones. We also pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would rebuke and bind the devil and his demons and his hosts from them, and place upon them the whole arm of God. Surround them, brother, with the band of your holy angels. In Jesus Christ's name, we continue to pray. And Lord, we pray for the family and friends of Maryland 15-year-old Diana Dyson. We pray for the family and friends of Marilyn Holocaust survivor Otila Levi. And we pray for the family and friends of DC radio host Jose Marducuro Rees. And we pray for the family and friends of DC City Executive Alan Y. Liu. We pray for the family and friends of New York author Yu Lahua. And we pray for the family and friends of DC Dr. Elise Gulati. We pray for the family and friends of Missouri nurse Judy Wilson Griffin. We pray for the family and friends of DC engineer Peter Bainham. We pray for the family and friends of Colorado paramedic Paul Carey. We pray for the family and friends of DC veteran Sean Boynes. Lord, hold them up, comfort them as only you can. Lord, for we have no words. Save those who are lost, revive those who are saved. Help them to hear the gospel, and help them to believe in you, Lord Jesus, before it is eternally too late for them. Holy Father God, we continue in prayer for the people who have sent in prayer requests, and we pray for all of the people, including these seven that we're going to pray over by name. Please hear and answer all of their prayers, their specific requests, and hear our prayers for them. And we pray for salvation and spiritual, family and life, financial and material, protection and provision blessings, Lord, upon them all, including these people. And we pray specifically for Marie. Please provide her and her family with all they need to make progress, as well as the right people to give them help and support. We pray for Tiffany. Please bless her husband to face all challenges in his work and give him peace of mind, courage, and a God-fearing attitude. Please bless her son and her mother to have healthy lives. We pray for Spencer. Please bless his mother with success, guidance, and protection in her small business. We pray for Arlene. Please bless her with a great place to stay. Bless her with good health and save her soul. We pray for Raju. Please bless him with the job you want him to have. We pray for Angelica. Please be with her, in her life and in her family. Protect them all from the coronavirus plague. We pray for Katerina. Please improve, develop, and deepen the relationship between her and Dijon. Make them a strong Christian couple and help them to get married soon, according to your will. And Holy Father God, we pray, Lord, for those who have been saved for a while, and who have gotten saved through the ministry, the preaching of the gospel through this ministry, and those who have been saved for a while, but who got away from you and who rededicated their lives to you. We pray for all of these people, both groups. Help them all to grow in the faith, to stand strong in the faith, and not to falter, not to quit. We pray for Mr. Norwood. We pray for Udaya. We pray for Carlos. We pray for Samanda. Pray for Peter. And we pray for Richard. And we pray for EM as well. And Lord, we pray for Mo. We pray for Emmy. We pray for Latanja. We pray for Michelle. We pray for Fumi. We pray for Josphat. And we pray for William. We commit all of these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in our lives as well. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen. Dear friends, our devotional reading is titled, We Rejoice in Thee, Lord, Part 2, from Dr. Charles Haddon Spurgeon. The rod of chastisement must rest upon us in our measure, but it worketh for us the comfortable fruits of righteousness. And therefore, by the aid of the divine comforter, we, the people, saved of the Lord and by the Lord, will joy in the God of our salvation. We are married unto Christ, and shall our great bridegroom permit his spouse to linger in constant grief? Our hearts are knit unto him. We are his members, and though for a while we may suffer as our head once suffered, yet we are even now blessed with heavenly blessings in him. We have the earnest of our inheritance in the comforts of the Spirit, which are neither few nor small, inheritors of joy forever. We have foretastes of our portion. There are streaks of the light of joy to herald our eternal sunrising. Our riches are beyond the sea. Our city with firm foundations lies on the other side, the river. Gleams of glory from the spirit world cheer our hearts and urge us onward. Truly is it said of us, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, are you saved by the Lord? If you are with us today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in the free pardon of your sins, if you have never believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for your soul's salvation from the power of sin in your life, and from the power, or rather the punishment of sin in that awful place called hell. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Holy Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Holy Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18:8, "Wherefore if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire." Hell is a very real place. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than any prophet, any preacher, any apostle, or any writer in the Bible. Jesus Christ, in fact, preached more on the horrors of hell than he did about the glories of heaven. When describing hell one time, he said, "It is a place, not it will be a place, but it is a place where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth." He called the darkness of hell the outer darkness. In other verses, the Bible talks about the mists of darkness, outer darkness, and then the blackness of darkness. It is very dark, in other words, in that awful place called hell, even though there is the torment of fire. For he said in another sermon, Jesus Christ said that hell is a place where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. So hell is a real place. Hell is a very serious matter. And hell is no joke, and hell is bad news. Hell is bad news. My dear friend, you do not want to go to hell. But I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again. John the Baptist called him the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. All you have to do is believe in him, because he has taken away your sin. Trust in him. Have faith in him. Pray and ask him to save you, and he will save you. For Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend, if you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead, and you want to believe in him today, do that now. Put your faith and trust in none other than Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Pray and ask him, call on his name to save your soul and to come into your heart. Receive him into your heart, and he will save you. If you really don't know how to pray that prayer, I'll help you with it. I will lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer. You just believe in your heart in Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again by the power of God. That is the gospel. That is the good news. Follow me in prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments, for I have lied before. I've stolen things before, regardless of the value. I have lusted in my heart after people and things before. I have dishonored my parents and disobeyed my parents with a bad attitude and in other ways. I have dishonored you by taking your holy name in vain. And Lord, that's just five of your Ten Commandments. As you know, I've committed many other sins. And I know that I deserve to burn in hell forever. I deserve to go to hell just like a criminal deserves to go to jail. But for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for me, because he paid my sin debt. He was buried and he rose on the third day by your power. So, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save, and please save my soul. As I believe in you and I receive you into my heart and life, please fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to change my mind about my sin. Help me to repent of my sins. Help me to turn truly from my wicked life. Help me to hate sin as you do. and help me to walk in new life, in the new life with you, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ as he told you to do, that's all he told you to do is believe in him. You don't have to be in a church to be saved. I did not get saved in a church. I got saved in spite of the church, outside of the church, in a dorm room. You don't have to go to church or join a church to be saved. You don't have to shake the preacher's hand to be saved. You don't have to be touched by some preacher to be saved. You don't have to sing in the choir, do good work in the church to be saved. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. You don't have to give any money to the church to get saved. You don't have to do good works to get saved. All you have to do is believe in Jesus Christ, and then you will do those good things from your heart. So, dear friend, if you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you to help you grow in the faith. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you. Real good is my prayer. Now, the next time you may see me is today, but it will be this evening. We may have a beautiful Rosh Hashanah service. It will be short and sweet, and we will have communion and everything, and but that won't happen until 6 o'clock Central Time, 7 o'clock Eastern Time this evening. The plans are not all firmed up for that, but I mentioned it yesterday, and if I'm not mistaken, it may be our first Rosh Hashanah service. Is that right? Over here, would that be our first? Yeah, it'll be our first. And we'll sing a Rosh Hashanah Happy New Year song, have communion, and then a short message regarding this amazing holiday, Jewish holiday, that many of our Messianic Christian Jewish friends celebrate, and we have chosen, and we thank God for the liberty to celebrate. And so that'll be later on this evening if you want to come back for that. Other than that, if the Lord should tarry his coming and we live, by the grace of God, we'll be back here tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock Eastern. If we don't party too hard tonight, 10 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock Pacific, or thereabouts. Pray for us. Make sure you pray without ceasing. Pray for yourselves. Pray for your family, and stay together. Don't run away from each other. You need each other in times like these. And more importantly, you need God. But God wants you to also stay with your family. If you want to have God in your life, you need to treat your family right and do what you're supposed to do in your family and for your family. God, in fact, uses us to help one another in our families and among our friends. So don't run away from people thinking you're going to get along with God and thinking that you can just get closer to God that way. You run away from your family, you're probably going to be running away from God too. So I would encourage you to stay with your family. And the way you do that is to pray without ceasing, read the Word of God, meditate upon the Word of God, and most importantly, do the Word of God found in Ephesians 5 and 6, regardless of the fact that others in the family, they might not be obeying the Word of God. You still do your part, and God will bless you. And yes, my dear friend, if you have a spouse that is disobedient and rebellious, but you are obedient and faithful, yes, God will bless you and not bless the spouse. Yes, He will. He would rather bless both of you, but He will bless you for doing your part. Okay? And so that's a beautiful thing. So you stay tight with God and with your family by the grace of God. Let's all stand for our final prayer for this service and before we close.